We'll be reading the entire chapter together, and as you are able, please rise for the reading of God's holy word. Hear what God has to say to you. The Lord reigns. Let the earth rejoice. Let the multitude of isles be glad. Clouds and darkness surround him. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of his throne. A fire goes before him and burns up his enemies round about. His lightnings light the world. The earth sees and trembles. The mountains melt like wax at the presence of the Lord, at the presence of the Lord of the whole earth. The heavens declare his righteousness, and all the people see his glory. Let all be put to shame who served carved images, who boast of idols. Worship him, all you gods. Zion hears and is glad, and the daughters of Judah rejoice because of your judgments, O Lord. For you, Lord, are most high above all the earth. You are exalted far above all gods. You who love the Lord, hate evil. He preserves the souls of his saints. He delivers them out of the hand of the wicked. Light is sown for the righteous and gladness for the upright in heart. Rejoice in the Lord, you righteous, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holy name. Thus far, God's holy word. You may be seated. The other day, we were at home and we were talking about Queen Victoria. Now, I know long, long ago, we in this country dispensed with kings and queens and monarchs, but having grown up in Canada, we still have what's called a constitutional monarchy. And last week, Monday, was Victoria Day, which was a celebration of her birthday. It's often called the May 2-4 weekend, the time, the day that we celebrate her birthday, but not just hers, but all of the monarchs. Now, what made Queen Victoria so unique, and why do we celebrate Victoria Day? Well, she was the longest reigning queen in England up until Queen Elizabeth II. Victoria reigned for 63 years and 7 months, and if you think about that, that's a long time to be sitting upon a throne. She also reigned during a time of much industrial, cultural, political, scientific, and military change. Now, many of us have never known any other sovereign than Queen Elizabeth. Certainly, those who are 50 years, maybe even 60 years and younger, have known no other queen sitting on the throne of England than Queen Elizabeth. But her sovereignty, her authority is largely, her position is largely, she's largely a figurehead. And sadly, that family is quite a tragic mess. But did you know that there's another sovereign who has been reigning much longer than Queen Victoria's 63 years and Queen Elizabeth's 68 years? And this sovereign is not a figurehead, but holds actual, real, and meaningful power. Who is this sovereign? Our text tells us that this king, this sovereign, is none other than God himself, whom the psalmist declares reigns in justice and righteousness, and whose glory the whole creation shall see. We're looking at this psalm, Psalm 97, in part because we are reminded once again, as the psalm begins, the Lord reigns. And we've gone through 2.5 months where we have been reminded, and it's been put before us at every turn, the Lord reigns. Now, not everybody sees it that way. Not everybody looks at it that way, but it is important that we are reminded that the Lord reigns. Psalm 97 is one of 150 psalms. It is found. This psalm is found in the fourth book. This book of Psalms, divided into five books, is found in that fourth book. It is one of those psalms that focuses on Yahweh Malak, that is, God the King. There is an emphasis that God's people are to look to him as king and not to earthly sovereigns, not to put their trust in princes, in horses, in kingdoms. And really, all we need to do is look around at society to see what a waste of time it is to put our trusts in leaders, in kingdoms, even as we find that our society is so rapidly changing in ways that I never expected, and I would believe that probably many of you have never even expected and thought about as well. You know, we live in a society where we think, hey, this country is going to last forever. Well, is it? There have been many other mighty kingdoms. Where are they now? Greece, Rome. You can name any number of other kingdoms. And so it's good for us to be reminded that God is king. He is king over the nations. God rules over his people, and God's rule moves his people to rejoice. When we looked at Psalm 96, you saw that believers must worship God's majesty, sovereignty, and justice with song as we sing to the Lord in worship. And by God's grace, I want to show you today that God rules over all things in righteousness and justice. You will see God's sovereign rule, God's sovereign justice, God's sovereign presence. First of all, God's sovereign rule. You see that the whole creation rejoices in God's kingship. Verse 1 of chapter 97. The Lord reigns. Let the earth rejoice. Let the multitude of the isles be glad. Notice how this psalm begins. It begins with these three words in the English. The Lord reigns. Think about that for a moment. It's an unqualified statement. It is a statement full of confidence. It is a statement of belief. The Lord reigns. You see, this is the statement that the believer, and only the believer, can make. The Lord reigns. You see, we live in a world and we live in a society in which we have been led to believe that God is not on the throne, that God is dead, or that God is irrelevant, that God has nothing to say to you and to me. In fact, God, if he exists at all, is simply to pacify you, simply something to make you feel good, a means of control. Why is that? Well, the reason is because I'm in control. You see, as a society, as individuals, we have removed God from the throne and we have put ourselves in his place. And so we look at the scriptures. And we read through the scriptures. And we consider the word of God and we say, well, you know, this doesn't make sense. I don't have to pay attention to that. This is just strange. Miracles? Dead being raised? The sick being healed? Nah, that doesn't happen today. I've never seen it. I've never, have you? Have you witnessed that? Nah, it can't happen. Can't be true. Do you notice what's happened in our society? Do you notice what's happened? Who becomes the judge of what is true and what is truth? We do. We become the judge over God's word, and we say, well, this I like and this I don't like, this I accept and this I don't accept. In fact, you'll see leaders and politicians turning to the scripture and picking it out and using it in ways out of context. God is love. And that's all we hear about. God is love. Love, love, love. And he is. He poured out his love upon his children in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise be to God for that. But if that's all, then you only have half a God. As we'll see later on in our text, that God is also a righteous God. He is also a God of justice who hates sin and cannot abide with sin and will not abide with sin and will judge all sin. And so God is the God of love, poured out and demonstrated to us in Christ. But he is also a God of wrath. Now, I don't like that, many will say. Doctrine of hell? Nah, can't be. Why would a God of love do something like that? Why would a God of love send this COVID-19 virus to have such an impact on us? Brothers and sisters, the Lord is shaping his church. The Lord is shaping you and me. He is fundamentally reforming our society. For you see, long ago, our society has cut itself off from the Word of God. Long ago, our society has said, I want nothing to do with God. God doesn't reign, I do. Truth? Well, you know that question Pilate asked, what is truth? As Christ was standing right there. Truth? Truth is what I say is true. Truth is what's good for me. Oh, that might be true for you, but that's not what I believe. How can we function in a society like that? We can't. So what do? How do we live? How do we move forward? How do we carry on? How do we continue in a world that is changing so rapidly? And it is fundamentally different now than it was 2.5 months ago. We do the same thing that the psalmist does here in Psalm 97. The Lord reigns. Not one thing that has taken place is outside of God's control. We confess that God rules and governs all his creatures and all his actions. That's God's providence. At the very beginning of this, I remember driving to Tulsa, and it suddenly dawned on me something that I hadn't realized, hadn't thought of before. That God is still on the throne. Yeah, okay, we confess that, right? But do we actually believe it? Do we actually live it? Do we actually think that God can communicate to us? That God is communicating to us through what has taken place in these last 2.5 months? I have to shamefully admit, I didn't think that way. It was eye-opening to realize that God, yeah, we confess it, that God is on the throne. Do you believe it? Do you confess it? Do you trust? Can you say with the psalmist, the Lord reigns even through all of this? Yes, even through the difficulties. I know there are those who have lost loved ones because of this. It's horrible. There is nothing nice about this COVID-19 virus. Nothing. But then there's nothing nice about cancer or MS or any. Or any of the other diseases that we face. Consequences of our sin because of the curse. There's nothing nice about it all. Yet God reigns. God is in control. God has not left his people. God will not leave you in your struggle, in your difficulties? The Lord reigns.
Amen.
There is so much hope and comfort for the believer in those words. No matter what comes your way, you have a God who has made promises to you that he will never leave you nor forsake you. No matter what difficulties you face, you have a God who says, I will walk with you through even the valley of the shadow of death, as the psalmist says in Psalm 23. You have a God who loved you and set his name upon you, not because you are great, not because you are mighty, not because you are more righteous than all the other nations, but simply because he chose to love you. The Lord reigns. Brothers and sisters, you can take hope and comfort and be confident in God's sovereignty. He will never leave you. Underneath are the everlasting arms. Though you struggle, he will pick you up. He will bring you through. But notice what he says. The Lord reigns. And what is the response? Let the earth rejoice. Let the multitudes of the isles be glad. To rejoice is to exalt, is to be filled with joy, and to express that joy. You see, the Lord reigns elicits an expression of praise from the people of God. Even that statement, the Lord reigns, is in and of itself an expression of joy, an expression of hope, an expression of comfort. And notice he says, let the earth rejoice. He's speaking here of creation, which groans under the curse of sin, as Paul writes in Romans chapter 8. That even the creation itself will also be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with pangs together until now. And you know what Paul says a few verses earlier there? For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. You see, the sufferings, difficulties that we face here are but for a time. There is something so much greater, so much more glorious, so much more beautiful that awaits the believer. That is to bask in the light of the glory of God himself. To rejoice in him. And we can rejoice in him now, today, because God is on the throne. He says, let the multitude of the isles be glad. That is, to be content, to be happy, to be thankful. You see, isles, islands, are places that are hard to get to, that are isolated. In the time that the psalm was written, Crete and Cyprus may be, you know, islands that people were well familiar with. It's not like the thousand islands near Lake Ontario, where you've got all these little islands all over the place. But he says, let the islands, the isles, be glad. You see, the idea here is the extent. Everywhere you can possibly imagine, even those places that are hard to get to, isolated, let them be glad. God's sovereignty is cause for gladness. It is cause for celebration. And it is not... This is not a statement. It says, let the earth rejoice. It is a command. You must rejoice and be glad that the Lord reigns. For the Christian, rejoicing in God's sovereignty, it is not an option. And neither is it a burden. Because under God's sovereignty, we have freedom for good. To worship him, to serve him. Why? For God is good. You see, the psalmist makes this declaration. The Lord reigns. Are you rejoicing under the sovereignty of God's rule? Are you rejoicing that God is King of kings and Lord of lords, that there is none greater than God himself? If you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ, then you will face God, not as your king, but as your judge. He will come. And he will ask you to give an account. What will your answer be? You see, the Lord reigns. Let the earth rejoice. Let the isles be glad. Brothers and sisters, there is nothing that will remove God from the throne. Nothing. Nothing at all. He was and is to come and will always ever be sitting on his throne.